Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
As everyone hears, we're talking about Hennessy's future additions.
Dick and balls.
His future dick and balls. And
I'm going to send pictures to Judy all the time.
No, you're not. Dick. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled. Thrilled. You know, there's certain guests I have. You know, I love comics. I love, but this guy.
Yeah.
First of all, I've known him since I began doing stand-up. He is, I hate the word legend because he's still going strong.
I would say you're both legends.
But he's awesome. I mean, he's, the thing is, I don't know. I love so many things about him. I love his attitude. I love his stand-up. I love his acting.
Ditto.
And I love that he's had a major impact. I think as far as, you know, late night talk shows are concerned, or I think he's had a major impact and yet has not been given the credit he deserves.
Agreed.
So as, you know.
Where is that credit? How does that credit come? Does it come in form
it
of
just,
money?
No, just, it comes. No, never. It never comes for
kind.
Money, but it comes from maybe some sort of acknowledgement.
Well, he's got a huge, like a very strong following, like from.
Right. But it's like, come on, guys.
Why don't you say my name?
This is the buildup. It's the buildup.
Sorry, okay.
But it's like,
I don't know when to go on. I feel like I'm off stage.
No, no. Ladies and gentlemen, stadium. I can't hold on any longer. Alan Havey is here. Woo! Yay! Alan Havey.
Very, very kind. Thank you very much.
But it's true, Alan.
No, I have gotten the credit.
You have?
Yes. Over the years, I've run into people, whether they're audience members, audience of one members. You're talking about my old show, Night After Night.
Right.
On Comedy Channel and then Comedy Central. I've talked to guys who are now writers, actors, and they, you know, every now and then they'll pull me aside and say, hey, man, I just want to say your show really meant a lot to me, and I loved watching it, and, you know, so I just want you to know I appreciate that. Good. So I've gotten that.
But that's good.
That's everything.
That's amazing.
Your intro, you know, you call me a legend and stuff, but comedians that I work with now watch me when they were in junior high.
Right, high school.
You know? And I still love doing it.
I'm the same. I feel like, you know, I read a lot about you, and I was like, oh, my God, bingo, bingo, bingo. I feel very, what's that word I'm looking for?
But influence.
I feel, you know.
I've been around a lot.
Yeah, but I also feel like we have similar attitudes about what we do. You know. There's so many comics who
are... We're in the same kind of wheelhouse in a lot.
Right.
We both have a lot of anger, a lot of
right, a lot of anger, passion. But I love what I do. And there are so many times I'm on stage going, oh, my God, this is the fucking greatest thing in the entire world.
Yeah.
And then you get on stage.
Or off stage. Yesterday I did the brunch show at the Comedy
Store. Oh, how is that? I've never done it.
Oh, it's great. And
I can't imagine being funny. Are they drinking?
Yeah, they're drinking. And upstairs, not the comedians, upstairs hanging out with two separate groups of comedians. Because you can come down and have breakfast
right.
with a comedian there, you don't, even if you're
right.
not on the show. And I'm just sitting there listening to two different conversations
right.
at two separate tables. And they were talking about everything, but no one was talking about their career. No one was talking about
right.
Netflix special, who got what, or
right.
what's going to do, or who books that room.
Right.
They were just, it was just, and that's what I love about comedians.
Right.
They talk about anything. I'm interested. And in L.A., there's a little more obsession with where am I going? Where's my career going?
Right.
What's
going
to happen? Who got that? How come I didn't get
right,
that?
Right, right,
right. And there is, I think, more of that overall generally in comedy because there's a lot more opportunities.
Right.
But it was just, when I get a compliment from a fellow comedian, it doesn't matter if they've been doing it 20 years.
Oh, 20 I know.
Minutes, that, I love that. And so I have gotten credit all along the way. And as comedians, we get credit as we're working.
Right.
So I don't feel, you know, I haven't gotten my due or recognized.
That's a, right. I've never heard that. We
no,
get
Hennessy,
credit while
been,
we're doing
yeah,
it.
Right.
Like yeah.
Why do you think we do it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I guess I'm a performer too, and I never thought of that as credit.
But do you feel like you've grown into that attitude or that you started...
I always appreciated it along the way,
right?
But as I've gotten older,
right.
I appreciate everything
right.
more.
Mm.
A cup of coffee,
right?
A great dessert,
right?
Just a nice moment,
right?
You know, I think that comes with age, and
right.
I have been working against being bitter or staying bitter
right.
and angry. I've been meditating the last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
I still get angry, of course.
Oh, but, yes, I meditate.
I get
angry while I'm meditating. Good night, folks.
You certainly, growing older, if you get a different perspective.
Yeah.
You get okay.
Right.
As you look back on stuff. So I think that has a combination of that.
Right.
And, you know, I work at it.
It's a lot of work.
About 10 years ago, I realized, you know, I got to make money in another area. Because
right.
the stand-up, I don't want to do cruise ships.
Right, right.
My acting career wasn't really great.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a seminar called Curtain Up, specifically for college theater students or music or anyone going into the performing arts in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave a few talks at my alma mater, Florida State. And I was trying to sell this, get together with people and bop around
mm-hmm.
colleges and do this. And it's basically, I asked a lot of peers, those first 2 years out of college or in the business, what helped you? What worked against you? That's all I asked. And I got a great response, and I put it all together, and I did this.
That's
talk.
So great, and that's a great question.
So I'm still going to do this
right.
seminar, but thankfully I've been busy with acting and
right.
stand-up.
AlanHavey.com/curtain-up.
Yeah, the website's down now, but my website's up. But, you know.
AlanHavey.com.
A-L-L.
A-N. The wrong way. The wrong way.
But what I did before I went out to do the seminar, I watched every single motivational speech
really?
On the internet you could get for free. I didn't buy anything.
Right, right, right.
I'd taken the Tony Robbins course years ago.
Yeah.
I saturated myself
right.
with all this information, and I think it really adjusted my mood. And the advice I give in the seminar, I started taking for myself, and that's when things started.
All right, what's
off.
The best piece of advice?
Follow your gut.
Yep. I say that all the time when people ask me what's your big, and it's because anytime I haven't followed my gut, it's been a bad outcome. Well, I'm like, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. And you question yourself and question yourself. And it's always right. Your gut is always right.
I don't think it's always right because I followed my gut and it was the wrong thing.
Right, right.
But at least you did it. You worked that
There's
muscle.
No one else to blame. Yeah.
And, you know, you're out there following my gut. There's a lot of obstacles. You really set your mind up. You know, it's not always easy. But if I was going to give one piece of advice, follow your gut, follow your heart.
Right.
Mostly your gut.
Right.
Your stomach is different than your heart.
Right.
Your head, I would say gut, head, then heart is last.
Right.
You know?
I just want to just interrupt right now and say that someone stole my key holder off my bike while I was getting, while I was at the doctor on the Upper East Side. Just want to say that for my kill me now moment of the day.
You mean, so
like
you,
I have a little thing.
Your keys are in it?
Pouch? Like a little pouch?
Yeah, I have a little pouch I keep on. It's Velcroed.
That sucks.
And it's like you're on the Upper East Side.
I bet
you
it was somebody that makes at least 150 a year.
And it was like, oh, that's a cool little key holder.
I think I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's just like so fucking annoying. I come downstairs. I'm like, really? All right. So I just want to say that. Anyway, so Alan, you grew up in St. Louis, Missouri?
No. I was born there.
Oh, you were born in St. Louis,
yes.
But you grew up in Florida?
Miami, yeah. Raised in Miami.
Wow.
Yeah.
During the
60s.
But it was different. It's way it was different then than it was.
Well, yeah. I'm going to be 64 in September.
Wow.
So.
You look good.
Thank you. You know what it is?
What?
It's the heavy trifecta.
I like this.
Open mind, loving heart, prudent, and carnal matters.
Nice. That's the root.
Yeah, baby.
Dropped in the bottle. It's kind of a joke.
And so you grew up, and then you went to Florida State. And what did you study at? First of all, were you popular in school?
I was a wise ass.
Right.
I opened my mouth a lot. I liked to be. I found out very early on that being funny and getting laughs was very enjoyable.
And also powerful.
Yes. Mm. And that was kindergarten.
Right. What's your best kindergarten joke?
I can tell you the first joke I told at the family table.
What?
It was January 20th, 1961. Kennedy was inaugurated.
Right.
And my dad, you know, we have four kids, and my mom, you know, all right, kids, we got a new president. My mom goes, Charlie, Bernice, goddammit. He would say G-O-T, so he wouldn't bless.
Right.
He goes, and there's two pieces of fried chicken left. We were really happy. We were Catholics. We felt, as kids, we prayed. So we helped Kennedy over this evil Nixon. This guy looked like Satan. You know, we were little kids. We didn't know anything.
Yeah.
We didn't know how close it was.
Right.
And so there's two pieces of chicken left. One piece of fried chicken left. My brother and I both wanted it. My dad said, if you can tell me the middle name, we have a new president, John F. Kennedy. If you can tell me what F stands for, you can have the chicken. And I said, Fidel.
Oh, that's good.
I was like 6 years old. My parents cracked up.
That's awesome. Did you get the chicken?
Yep, I did. So I got early on, being funny is better than being right.
You know what? That's true. And you know what struck me about that story? I don't think my parents ever made fried chicken. Ever.
Probably not. You're Jewish.
Right.
Yeah. No.
No, we didn't have fried food.
No.
I mean, we had fried smelts.
Yeah, Alan's
house. It would have to have a
falafel.
You know, not Mediterranean.
Not that
kind of yeah,
more Eastern European. Okay, so you're one of four.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you?
Second.
Wow.
Yeah, second kid, older brother. Uh-huh. My older brother could do anything.
Right.
He's a scuba diver. He built model rockets. He built Erector sets. You know, he got on his bike first and took off. Real overachiever kind of a guy.
So
my parents gave me a yo-yo and a helmet and stuck me in the middle of the field and said, good luck. All right, keep away from Alan.
And then any sisters?
Yeah, two little sisters.
Right.
Anna Mary. both got married young.
Right.
They had children, and their children are having children. My brother and I, no kids.
Wow, both your brother and you, no, so there's no one carrying on the Havy name.
No, it ends with, my niece Sarah, it's her middle name.
Oh, all right.
And who knows? Maybe I'll adopt.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I love when older gentlemen adopt children. I think it's great.
It's not going to happen.
Okay, so then you, in high school, did you play sports?
No.
Just wise ass.
Tried out for football, didn't make it. It did in Little League. Football, but didn't make the cut. Basketball didn't make the cut. Baseball didn't even try out.
Right.
Never had any confidence. Skinny guy.
Right.
But just a wise ass. Love to make jokes. Love to do oral reports.
Right.
To get up.
Anything to get attention in front of the audience.
Skits,
now
skits at school.
Right.
Homecoming. You know. And
did you go to the prom?
Yeah. Yeah. Went with a girl who was on the prom. She was on the committee. She wasn't the queen.
But, right.
Yeah. So you know. I was popular with a certain group of people, but I was the biggest mouth. So I was voted wittiest in high school.
Right,
and but another thing, you talk about luck. Good group in grade school, good group in high school, college. I went to community college for a couple of years, good group. Florida State, good group.
Right.
Come to New York, get involved with comedians, good group of comedians.
Right.
So I've always been blessed. I've been around a lot of good people.
Right.
You know, good group of people.
Now, what did you study when you got to college?
Theater.
Were a theater major.
Yeah. So I was at a barbershop. My dad was getting a haircut when I was a little kid, maybe like 10,
mm-hmm.
8. And he goes, Joe's daughter is going to be a theater major in college. She wants to be an actress. What, Joe's daughter? And I'm sitting there going, you can go to college and study theater?
Right.
Because I wasn't going to go to college.
Right.
I was an underachiever, classic underachiever.
Did your brother go to college?
Yeah.
All right.
He went to college. But he dropped out, got into a business, and then he went back, got his MBA.
Right.
He didn't get an undergraduate degree. He got an MBA.
Right.
But he did real well
in
business.
That.
Right.
And retired today. You know, he's a great patriarch. My parents are both gone.
Right.
But studied theater. And that's when, oh, this is where I belong. Community college in Miami, black, white, Hispanic.
Any Jews?
Gay, straight. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is the Jew bell.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that. They warned me about that.
Oh, they did? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's theater. Plenty. Yeah. So it was great. This is like fantastic.
Now, what was the gay percentage in the theater department?
20% maybe.
Really? That's it?
Maybe.
Well, it was was in the 70s, so.
Right.
Yeah, so people weren't out.
Well, then the percentages went up as a few people came out of the closet.
Right.
Life went on.
Right.
You know.
Hey, everyone. I have a new sponsor, and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit. I said shit on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent. Did you like that? Senescent cells. Those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin. And I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome. So you studied theater, you graduated. Did your parents go to your graduation?
No, I didn't go to the graduation ceremony.
Why?
I paid for it. I didn't want to.
Why?
I just wanted my degree and wanted to get the hell out. I didn't want to go put on a cap and gown.
I felt that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
I did.
I went to it.
Right, but I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have my cap and gown.
When we were kids, your mother and father sent you to parochial schools, grade school, high school, college. You're on your own.
Really?
Yeah. They
did you pay for college?
Yeah, I worked my way through college.
Wow, that is not Jewish. Now,
no, it's not Jewish. But I got my degree. My dad, you're not getting your degree. You didn't get your degree. But I got it. Came one day in the mail, stuck it in his mashed potatoes.
No way.
Yeah, there it is. And he took it. Oh, my God. Your mother and I are going to get this framed.
That's crazy.
That was the last I saw of it.
So.
They lost.
That's
it.
Hilarious.
Something went.
You could probably get another copy. Did your father go to college?
No. Well, no, he did. He was in the Pacific during World War II.
Right.
Then he went to Missouri to get a degree in journalism.
Right.
Then he dropped out.
Right. So what did he end up doing?
Running cars and trucks in the movie business for a while. Mm-hmm. Not doing a lot.
Right.
Good guy, though.
Right.
Turned me on to old movies. Woke me up to watch Carson when I was a kid.
Oh, that's great.
My father is the reason why I'm in show business.
That's really
cool. And what was your mother like?
A very dry sense of humor. German Catholic.
Oh, German.
No, no. She
was, not German?
No, she was born here. She didn't have an accent.
Right.
It's PTSD.
Just, you know. Basic Catholic,
right.
You know, lower middle class kids.
Wow.
Middle class, lower middle class.
So you graduate college, you come to New York.
Yeah. I go home, make some money, get the hell out of Miami. Right. Come to New York, get a kidney stone attack, go back to Miami, get surgery for it. You know.
You had surgery instead of passing it through?
I couldn't get it through. It was lodged in my ureter.
Right.
You know,
in your
ureter?
Ureter.
Ureter?
It's underneath the kidney.
Yeah.
Learned a lot about my kidneys at 23, 24.
Is that's young to have a kidney stone, isn't it?
Yeah, but I worked at a deli restaurant for 2 years, and a lot of Cokes and a lot of like cheese and
salty meats
and stuff, and you know, it happens.
Yeah, I'm worried about Henry. All he does is eat fucking burgers. Every fucking meal is a burger. No cheese, but Henry, you can't eat fucking burgers every meal.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, are they really good burgers? I mean,
I don't know. He just shoves them. It's like, oh, the burger.
Yeah.
Or a cheddar cheese omelet. What? What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing. I've just
been
eating a lot of burgers recently.
He's 21.
Okay.
Yeah. He eats like shit. He ate well as a child, and now he eats like shit.
Mm.
Okay. So you come to New York after your whole kidney thing. Where do you live? Where do you pass at? What comedy club do you pass at first? And who are your peers?
Well, we got to go back to college first. I had a comedy partner.
That was me hitting my fucking chair against the desk. Go ahead.
John McFarlane, who was a classmate of mine. And
yeah.
We didn't get the biggest part, so we had time to go around backstage, and we came up with some comedy routines.
It's great.
Skits. So we came up to – when I came to New York – I moved in with my buddy John, who had an apartment.
John McFarlane, different buddy.
Different buddy. He had a room, an extra room. So I moved up here, got a place right away. My rent was like $160 a month, which was even back then ridiculous.
Right.
Got a job right down the street bartending.
Hell's
Kitchen.
Oh, you were living in Hell's Kitchen.
I'm going down 43rd and 9th. That's where the bar is. On 44th and 9th. That's where the improv is.
Improv, yep.
So I work with my partner for a year. I get frustrated. We both have.
Did you get on stage together?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But not really a comedy club so much. Sensibility was different. So I went off on my own to do stand up. And the first big club I passed was the Improv.
Right. Yeah. With Silver?
Yeah. Best, the one of the biggest yeses in show business.
Right.
You know, it's always great when we hear yes.
Did you stand online to take a number?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
I did everything. Waited outside a Catch on the sidewalk to take a number. Comic strip to take a number.
Right.
Went to every open mic in the city.
People don't realize. You had to stand outside, take a number, and then go back that night. And when your number...
And hang all night.
Yeah, hang all night.
And then when you pass, then you just go there and hang.
Hang. That's when I knew I was funny. Because when I passed at Catch... And I'd hang all night. I'd get on at 2 in the morning. Wow. And the band would laugh.
Yes.
That's how I knew I was funny.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah,
that's all
I
you
go,
need.
I'll go to your shows now. And like, if I get to be backstage at something that you're doing, I mean, the crew is always gathering around the wings when you're on, like, cracking up.
Oh, that's the biggest compliment, I think. Yes. Or other comics
agreed.
Coming in to watch you.
Yes. Well, that was a goal when I was an early young comic improv. One day I'm going to go up there and the comedians are going to come in to watch.
Right.
Because I would see them going to watch other guys.
Right.
So. Yeah. That's
and that
a
happened
great goal.
Once, like a couple years later. So I felt good about that.
So at the improv at this time, this is what, 1981?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and is Chris Albrecht the.
No, Chris Albrecht's already gone.
Oh, he's gone. He was Chris.
Harry, Pat Buckles started.
Oh, yeah. Pat Buckles. Chris Albrecht was the head of HBO for many, many years, but he was the door guy at the Improv.
Yeah,
oh,
wow. I heard about those days, but I wasn't part of that.
So it was Silver Friedman.
Right.
Bud, and she was married to Bud Friedman. They got divorced. Bud went to L.A. and opened the L.A. Improv, and Silver opened the, I love that club, the New York Improv.
She just kept the Improv.
Kept the Improv.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
I mean, that piano, that door, the side door. I mean, it was just, and now it's a fucking Italian restaurant.
Well, you know.
I know. And they had,
things change. That's another thing.
I know. I'm not good with that.
Staying in this business and keeping it fresh. You know, when things change, oh, remember when that place was over there? Okay, yeah. Things change.
I know. I'm very nostalgic and it's bad.
It's funny. I was more nostalgic when I was young.
Oh, sorry. Why? Well, and I didn't do Silver Friedman. Go ahead, Bud. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, damn, you're gonna ring.
I mean, I'm like so into you that I'm forgetting my bell. Go.
You talk about Fiddler on the Roof. You're gonna be ringing that bell all
day.
You gotta accept change,
right?
That you can't control,
right?
I mean, it's you know, and sometimes it does suck,
right?
The Catch in Cambridge was a great.
I loved that club.
It was a great room, and everybody bemoaned the fact when it went away. But you know, Catch a Rising Star on First Avenue is gone.
Right. Princeton. Is it still there, the Princeton one?
Yeah, I believe it is.
But it was really good in the beginning. Remember that brunch?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the last place my father ever saw me perform.
And I suggested something to the manager there. He was like 30. He goes, and he had his little nameplate. He goes, don't tell me how to do my job. And I go, oh, yeah, I've been doing this for a while. I'm just suggesting something. You don't have to snap it.
Man. Yeah, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, and I haven't been back there.
Oh, that's a shame.
All right. So
change.
You're at the Improv, which, by the way, had the best French fries. I mean, they used to cut the potatoes.
Jean-Paul.
Yeah, Jean-Paul. And Uncle Dirty was there.
Uncle Dirty.
Oh, my God.
Ron
Darien,
John Hammond, Lou DiMaggio, John Mendoza, Don Marrera.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Geez, I'm just trying to think of comedians not Jewish, so I don't have to.
Oh, fuck. Are you kidding? Seinfeld was there.
Yeah. Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Jimmy Brogan.
Yeah.
Larry David.
Yeah.
You know what's great? Jerry and Larry were two of my favorites. Totally different comedians.
Yeah. Yes. Mm.
And when they came together and collaborated and did Seinfeld, I go, okay. You know,
it's perfect.
Yes, perfect marriage of comedic sensibilities.
Right, right.
You know,
so you pass at the Improv. Then where do you pass?
Catch, and then Bill Grunfest one night approached.
Oh yes, Bill. Yes,
We have a place called the Comedy Cellar downtown. We're going to pay $15.
Mm-hmm. Which was a lot.
Yeah, it was like I think $5 at the Improv. Excuse me. And and we're going to feed you, and you can drink for free. Oh. So I went down, and it was tough because there weren't a lot of people.
Right, yeah, there was like five.
Manny Menachem Dorman, who ran,
yes,
said, I want this place to be a place where comedians come, even if they're not working here.
Right.
Love that.
And he planted that seed, which has grown into the mighty oak.
It's that place is unbelievable. Yeah. Like, when I'm in a clinical depression, deep depression, and I go there and sit with the other comics, it's like...
therapeutic?
I feel safe.
Which club again, yeah, are you talking
you
about?
You know, Comedy Cellar.
Comedy Cellar. Oh,
I,
yes,
just feel safe there. Yeah. I feel like, oh, okay. I feel loved. I feel, I don't know. I just feel like, oh, my God. I don't know. Something happens to me.
Yeah, it's very calming.
Yeah.
Even if I'm there and I'm not in, you know, talking to anybody.
Right.
I'm just around there. I just,
right,
love it.
Right.
You know.
So.
So that was nice, getting in there. And
I mean, I remember going there. There was be five people in the audience. I mean, you cannot even get a reservation there now. And they have three rooms.
Yeah. Do they still do the free ticket?
And Bill was so good. If I was in a riff, if I was,
right,
just cooking.
Right.
And I was just going off, he would let me go.
Right.
Bit. He would give me the stretch signal, which,
right,
you never see anymore.
No.
And I've grown as a comedian more in that room than any other room.
Well, how do you think... comedy shows, you know, because I remember I started in the mid 80s and, you know, these comedy shows would go, I mean, especially at Catch, they'd start at 8,
right,
and go till 3 in the morning.
Well, they go till the crowd left.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it.
Same thing at the Improv.
Right.
You know, you'd come back from a gig in Jersey,
yeah,
late on a Saturday, and you had like a 120 spot.
Right.
If there was still a crowd there, it was like, wow.
Right.
The MC did a good job.
Yeah.
So I started emceeing there.
That's that.
And
yeah,
my goal was to keep the crowd there.
Right.
And it would make other comedians happy.
But it doesn't happen like that anymore. And the MC now, it's like, I mean, I remember when I started, it was like, oh my God, this person's MC. The MC was the star, basically, of the show.
Yeah, it was a prestigious,
yeah,
spot. It was an honor to be an MC.
Right.
I still think it is, but people like in 88 started thinking of it, especially road comics.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm an MC, but I'm really a feature.
Right.
I'm a feature, but
I'm really a headliner.
Headliner,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
That's,
you know,
so
when
funny,
you're the MC, it's your show. You're,
right,
the host of the party.
Right.
And what kills me is MCs bring somebody up to go upstairs. They have no idea what's going on.
Right.
In the room. Cellar has really good MCs.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they have great shows.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you're doing stand-up. You get a spot on Letterman in 1986.
Yeah.
That was your first?
No.
No?
No. The new show. 1983.
Oh. Oh, all right.
Lorne Michaels' first show after he left Saturday Night Live. Started auditioning a new show, and every comedian in the world,
right,
was coveting, wanting to get on there.
Right.
I, fortunately, by really interesting a twist of fate, got cast in that show.
Right.
So that was cool.
Right. This is 1983.
I auditioned in 83. It started in 84.
Okay.
Jada worked with Gilda Radner, Steve Martin,
oh,
John Candy.
My God.
Dave Thomas, Catherine O'Hara,
oh,
met Randy Newman, Paul Simon. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a great learning experience. It only went 12 weeks.
What
now.
Was the name of the show?
The new show. See? People don't remember it.
Wow. And I did do all of my...
Yeah. No, you
fucking
did your due,
sucks.
No, you did your due diligence. It just started to show up on IMDb. I'm not
really?
Even credited in there. But...
And you were like a
junior cast,
right,
player.
Right. So it was like it was like SNL.
It was exactly the,
right,
same template as SNL,
right,
only an hour long.
Right. Okay. So then your first stand-up thing on TV.
85, Merv.
No way.
The last year he was.
How did I?
I don't think it's. Yeah, I
all
think
right.
It is in my IMDb.
All right.
It was the last year.
Merv Griffin.
Yeah,
what was
on.
That like?
It was great. It was
That's
great.
Awesome.
Wait.
I got bumped one night, then I got brought back again, so I was paid.
That
twice.
Was in LA?
Yeah, that was in Los Angeles.
No way.
Yeah, it was great.
So, like, were your parents alive for this?
My mom.
And was she
oh,
like.
Oh, they loved it. Hmm. And my mom was alive for the talk show. And the first one night stand special.
Right.
You know, so that was good.
So you do Merv. Who are you on with?
I forget.
Oh, my God. What a fucking awesome experience. Was he nice?
Very nice. It was great. It was easy. It was fun. I had a great time. Okay. And then next year it was the Letterman.
Right. So then you do Letterman right. in 86.
Right.
And at that time, because I had just started, that was, I mean, it was enormous.
Oh, yeah. Letterman became the show to be on.
Right.
Everybody wanted to get on Carson. That was right. Yankee Stadium. But Letterman became the hipper show.
Right.
Especially due to Jay Leno's appearances.
And right.
Letterman was really in a good groove, and it really became very popular.
And you were you definitely had his sensibility, and
it's a good feeling when you're out there and you hear your Dave laughing.
Right.
You know, that was always a great compliment.
So time goes on. You did two one-night stands for HBO.
Right.
You get this show night after night.
Yeah, that was I did this special during Night After Night.
Right.
I did. I got Night After Night in 89.
So 89 was it wasn't Comedy Central. There was Ha
Comedy Channel
and the Comedy Channel.
It was a Comedy Channel.
Right.
And they were auditioning again.
Right.
Every comedian in the world.
And you didn't really want it.
Everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.